Well, good morning. My name is Eliezer. You might be wondering who that is. If you're wondering who that is, I'm the servant of Abraham in the book of Genesis. And I'm your guest speaker today as you continue on your series here in Genesis. Now, I want to tell you a story. I want to tell you a story today, a very special story of how God brought a very special man and a very special woman together. And I'm so excited to share that with you. Now, oftentimes when you hear of a married couple, when they come together, and you hear of them tell the story of how they came together, quite often you might see their eyes sparkle. You might see them crack a smile. You might see their cheeks get a little blush as maybe they recall some embarrassing moments or special moments in their lives as God brought them together. But this story isn't just a story of how God brought a man and a woman together. It's really a story of God's provision. It's a story of God fulfilling his promises to my master Abraham and Isaac. Let's start with a word of prayer. Lord, as we hear the story today of Abraham, Isaac, and Rebekah, we praise you for your kindness and your faithfulness. We praise you for your provision and for keeping your promises. Help us to see the ways you do the same for us in our lives today as well. Amen. Now, before we jump into the story, I want to give you some background information about my master, Abraham. I want to tell you how awesome he is. Here's a guy who in many different ways, he puts his faith in God, and God honors him as a result. On multiple occasions, God promises Abraham many blessings, such as land and descendants. And God protected him and his family from powerful kings and gave him military victory. The surrounding nations recognized God's hand in his life, and his reputation grew. In fact, they even referred to Abraham as a mighty prince among them. There's many more cool stories I could tell you about Abraham, but one of the coolest things that happened in their life was that God promised Abraham and Sarah a son in their old age, and God delivered on that promise. At the age of 90 years old, can you imagine having kids at 90 years old? At the age of 90 years old, Sarah gives birth to a boy, and they named him Isaac. Now, last week, you would have heard some of the greatest tests of one of the greatest tests of faith and one of the greatest acts of obedience. You see, God, he asked Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac. And Abraham just simply obeyed, and he went forward. And of course, you would have heard that it was just a test, and God stopped him at the last moment. He wouldn't allow him to sacrifice his son. But because of that act of faith, God again promised Abraham land and descendants. Now, after this major event, many years had passed without too much happening until recently. Abraham's household, they grieved the loss of Sarah, Abraham's wife. And she died at an age of 127. And if you do the math right, that makes my master Isaac, it makes him about 35 years old at the time that I'm telling this story. Now, Abraham negotiated a deal with the Hittites to buy a piece of land and a cave to bury his dead. And to be honest, negotiate probably is not the right word. They were asking, can you believe it, 400 shekels of silver for the land. I know. Yeah, oh my goodness. Which was, in my opinion, it was a bit steep. But, you know, with his reputation and the bartering culture that they had, I mean, he could have easily bartered it down to 200 shekels of silver. But that's not the kind of guy that Abraham was. He was a peacemaker. He wanted to be above reproach. He wanted to have a good reputation among the people, so he paid the full asking price, which was quite amazing. Now, as I look back on Abraham's life, it's clear that God was with him and blessed him on so many levels. Anyways, with Sarah's passing and, you know, Abraham getting up there in age and realizing he wasn't getting any younger and realizing his son, his 37-year-old son, didn't have a wife, he realized the need for Isaac to have a wife to carry on the line. And that's where I come back into the picture. And remember, let me tell you something about myself. You know, I'm one of Abraham's servants, but remember, I'm the top dog. I am Abraham's senior servant. And now remember, we didn't really record how many people were in Abraham's household at the time, but remember way back when Abraham's household went to go save Lot It says there that there were 318 trained men, and I imagine most of them would have gotten married and had kids, and we picked up many other servants along the way. So our household, Abraham's household, I should say, was probably at least 1,000 people. And guess what? I was in charge of it all. And not only did he have all those people in the household, he was very wealthy. He had tons of livestock. I was almost like a mayor. I'm a big shot in Abraham's household. In fact, if Abraham didn't have any children, I was the guy in line to inherit everything that Abraham owned. Now, some of you might be wondering if I was disappointed when Abraham and Sarah had a son. Well, not at all. You see, my master and I, we have an excellent relationship. I love him. He loves me. He trusts me with so much. No, I was just overjoyed to see that how God had worked in their life and gave him Abraham and Sarah a son in their old age. And I am excited to be serving Isaac as well in his household as time goes on. Well, anyways, on with the story. You can find the story in Genesis 24 if you're interested. So anyways, there was one day when all of us were carrying on with life as normal, and all of a sudden, Abraham, he calls me over, and I'm thinking this is just a typical day. He's always calling me over. We're always talking about things, you know, keeping updated about the affairs of his household. But something was very, very different about this day and particularly this conversation. Very quickly, I learned that this wasn't going to be a typical conversation when he starts by asking me to put my hand under his thigh. Now, if you're wondering what that's all about, it was a cultural thing we did when we were about to enter a special agreement. And so something serious was at hand here. Now, in fact, in many cases, what this meant was that your hand would be placed on the other person's genitals. Now, I know this might be a little bit odd to you in your culture, but it's how we rolled in our culture. It's how we did things. And you can appreciate that Abraham got my attention when he made this request. Anyways, he went on to say this. Abraham, my master, said this, and he was serious. He says, I want you to swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that you will not get a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I am living, but will go to my country and my own relatives and get a wife for my son Isaac. And after I heard that, I thought to myself, wow, my master Abraham was entrusting me with something of extreme importance to find a wife for his son. But I needed to clarify something. I asked him, what if the woman's not willing to come back with me to this land? Should I then take Isaac back to the country you came from? And this was Abraham's response. Make sure that you do not take my son back there. The Lord, the God of heaven, who brought me out of my father's household and my native land, and who spoke to me and promised me an oath, saying, to your offspring I will give this land. He will send his angel before you so that you can get a wife for my son from there. If the woman is unwilling to come back to you, then you will be released from this oath of mine. Only do not take this my son back there. And so once again, my master Abraham, he's putting his faith in God, that God would go before me and provide a wife for my son. Well, what else could I do? What else could I say? I mean, it sounded good to me, and I was excited to see what God was going to do. So I put my hand under my master Abraham's thigh and swore an oath concerning the matter. Now, I wanted to make Abraham look good. I didn't want to mess this up. And I wanted to make sure I had a good gift to give to the woman's family and to let them know that we were serious and that this woman would be very well taken care of. And so I didn't just grab one camel. I grabbed 10 camels. And not only that, I loaded them down with all sorts of good things from my master. And you can imagine at this point that again, my master Abraham was seriously rich. And so anyways, we went on our long journey, and I had these camels kneel down outside the town of Nahor by the well close to evening when the woman would come out and draw water. And at that moment, I got to tell you, the gravity of my responsibility, it just hit me. I thought to myself, how in the world was I going to find a wife for Isaac? How in the world was I going to find his family? How long was this going to take? Oh my goodness, and how embarrassing would it be if I came back empty-handed? And if that happened, would he demote me and send another servant? How embarrassing and humiliating that would be. I had so many thoughts going on my mind, I didn't know what to say or do, so I just prayed. And I said this, I said, Lord, God of my master Abraham, make me successful today and show kindness to my master Abraham. See, I'm standing beside the spring and the daughters of the townspeople are coming out to draw water. May it be that when I say to a young woman, please let down your jar that I may have a drink, and she says, drink and I'll water your camels too, let her be the one you have chosen for your servant Isaac. By this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master. Now, in my culture, it was a very reasonable thing to ask a woman for a drink of water if you were on a journey. But it was very unusual for a stranger to voluntarily offer to feed or water your livestock as well. Now, I know what you're thinking. If you were in my shoes, maybe you wouldn't have prayed the same way. I know it was a bit bold. I know it was a bit specific. But it's how I was led to pray. And you know what? I wasn't even done praying, and all of a sudden, this woman, she comes out to the well. And I didn't know it at the time, but this woman was part of Abraham's distant relatives. That was incredibly exciting. Now, I didn't know that at the time, so I'll tell you more about that later. But what I can tell you that was that this woman was a very beautiful woman. I mean, she was easy on the eyes. She was gorgeous. And I found out later that that she was a virgin. No man had ever slept with her. Now, some of you might think that's not an important detail, but it is. Many of you might think that that was kind of the cultural norm back in my day to stay a virgin before you're married, but have you guys ever read the book of Genesis? Have you heard of all the sex scandals that take place in this book? Well, I have. Well, listen. You and I might come from different cultures, but remember this. People are still the same. And just as it is a rare and special thing to find a virgin in your culture, it's a rare and special thing to find a virgin in my culture. So as a side note, for those of you who are single, those of you who are hoping to be married one day, I just want to encourage you by saying this. It's a very honorable, it's a very good thing, it's a very attractive thing to save yourself for marriage. So let me encourage you to save yourself for marriage. Anyways, let's get back on with the story here. So anyways, this woman, she comes down to the spring, she fills her jar, and she comes up again, and I wasn't sure what the Lord was doing, and I didn't want to waste any opportunities. So I hurried over to her, and I asked her for a drink, and thankfully she said yes, she let me drink from her jar. And then after I drank, she said something really, really cool. She said, I'll draw waters for your camels too until they have had enough to drink. Man, I got to tell you, as soon as I heard that, the hairs in the back of my neck stood up, and I kept my mouth shut. I think I just maybe smiled and said thanks, and I just watched her as she drew water for my camels. And as she was going back and forth and back and forth, I mean, these were big camels. We had a lot of riches with us, and they were very thirsty, and she was going back and forth and back and forth. And I was wondering in my mind, is this the woman that God has for my master Isaac? Now, I didn't know all the details or who she was at the time, but it just felt right. So when the camels were done drinking, I presented her with a gold nose ring and two gold bracelets, and then I asked her whose daughter she was and if there was room in her father's house for me to spend the night. Now, I got to tell you, her response to this question absolutely floored me. It might not floor you, but it floored me. This is how she answered. She said, I'm the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, born to Nahor. And she added, she said, we have plenty of straw and fodder as well as room for you to spend the night. Whoa! These names are very special to me. because she was the granddaughter of my master Abraham's brother. Incredible. And I was just so excited about this. And in fact, this would make Isaac and Rebekah second cousins. Now, by the way, if you didn't catch that, her name is Rebekah. Now, the Lord brought me straight to Abraham's brother's family, and I didn't even know it. Amazing. Now, this news was so great, I couldn't contain myself. I mean, I immediately bowed down and I worshiped the Lord, and I said this. I said, I said, praise be to the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who has not abandoned his kindness and faithfulness to my master. And as for me, the Lord has led me on the journey to the house of my master's relatives. Anyways, Rebecca was quite excited, and she ran and she went to her mother's household. She told them all that had happened, and she came back with her brother Laban. Now Laban, he saw the rings, he saw the bracelet, he heard the story, he saw the very large camels loaded with all sorts of wonderful things. And he said to me, come, you who are blessed by the Lord, why are you still standing out here? I prepared the house of a place and a place for the camels. So I went to the house, the camels were unloaded, straw and fodder were brought to the camels, and they brought water for me and the men who were with me to wash our feet. And they set some food in front of us, but I couldn't contain myself. No one in the family had any idea what I was doing there, including Rebecca. And so I told them I would not eat until I told them what I was doing here. And so Laban encouraged me to go ahead and speak up. So this is what I said. I said, I am Abraham's servant. The Lord has blessed my master abundantly, and he has become wealthy. He has given him sheep and cattle, silver and gold, male and female servants, and camels and donkeys. The master's wife, Sarah, has borne him a son in her old age, and he has given him everything he owns. And my master made me swear an oath and said, you must not get a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites in whose land I live, but go to my father's family and to my own clan and get a wife for my son. Then I asked my master, what if the woman will not come back with me? He replied, the Lord before whom I have walked faithfully will send his angel with you and make your journey a success, so that you can get a wife for my son and from my own clan and from my father's family. You will be released if from my oath when you go to my clan, they refuse to give her to you. Then you will be released from my oath. When I came to the spring today, I said, Lord God of my master Abraham, if you will, please grant success to the journey on which I have come. See, I'm standing beside the spring. If a young woman comes out to draw water and I say to her, please let me drink a little water from your jar. And if she says to me, drink, and I'll draw water for your camels too, let her be the one the Lord has chosen for my master's son. Before I finished praying in my heart, Rebecca came out with her jar on her shoulder. She went down to the spring and drew water. And I said to her, please give me a drink. She quickly lowered her jar from her shoulder and said, drink and I'll water your camels too. So I drank, and she watered the camels also. I asked her, whose daughter are you? She said, the daughter of Bethuel, son of Nahor, whom Milcah bore to him. Then I put the ring in her nose and the bracelets on her arms, and I bowed down and worshiped the Lord. I praised the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who had led me on the right road to get the granddaughter of my master's brother for his son. Now, if you will show kindness and faithfulness to my master, tell me, and if not, tell me, so I may know which way to turn. Now, after I was done speaking, I wasn't sure how they were going to respond to all this. I mean, after all, this was their daughter. This was their sister, whom they loved very, very much. But thankfully, her brother Laban and her father Bethuel responded very quick, without skipping a beat. They said, this is from the Lord. We can say nothing to you one way or the other. Here's Rebecca, take her and go, and let her become the wife of your master's son, as the Lord has directed. Now I got to tell you, this quick and definitive response was incredibly exciting. So I bowed down to the Lord again, and I was just so excited and thankful for what God was doing in my master's life. I then brought out some gold, some silver, jewelry, some articles of clothing. I gave them to Rebecca and her family. Then we ate and we drank. We spent the night. It was great. Then the morning came. The morning came, and I woke up with a great sense of excitement, with an extra spring in my step. I mean, I wanted to get on my way. I wanted to get back to my master and tell him all the good news. And so I said to the family, I said, please send me on my way to my master. But this time I didn't get the response that I wanted. Her brother and her mother said they wanted Rebecca to stay for about 10 days or so, and then we could go. Again, I had a hard time containing my enthusiasm, so I said, "Do not detain me now that the Lord has granted success to my journey. Send me on my way so I may go to my master." Now, they weren't too sure what to say or what to do, so they decided, "Why don't we ask Rebecca?" So they called Rebecca over and asked how she would deal with the situation. Now, her response was, it was incredibly brief, but it was incredibly impressive as well. All she said was three simple words, but it had a great impact on all those who were there that day. And this is what she said. She said, "I will go." This was an act of incredible faith. Rebecca would be leaving everything she knew, everyone she knew, to be traveling with a stranger whom she has never met before, to go and marry a man she's never met before. And remember, back in my day, in my culture, we didn't have Facebook. We didn't have Skype. We didn't have email. We didn't have texting. We didn't even have phones. So she couldn't even see his picture. And all she says, three simple words, very definitive, "I will go." Incredible act of faith. So anyways, they gave me Rebecca and her nurse, and just before we took off, they blessed Rebecca, and they said this. They said, "Our sister, may you increase to thousands upon thousands. May your offspring possess the cities of their enemies." So after this blessing, Rebecca and her attendants, they mounted the camels, we packed up, and we left with Rebecca and my men. We carried on our journey, and we were just about home. And it just so happened that Isaac was out in the field. He was meditating. And he saw our camels approaching. Rebecca, she was a very, very observant woman, as most women are. And she noticed there was something different about this man that was walking towards us. So she got off her camel. And she asked me, "Who's that man? Who's that man in the field coming to meet us?" And I told her that this was my master, Isaac. So she took her veil and she covered herself. And as Isaac got to us, I told him everything that had happened. Shortly after, Isaac brought her into the tent of his mother, Isaac. And he married Rebecca. So she became his wife and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. So that's my story. That's my story of how God brought a very special man and a very special woman together. And what do we learn about this story today? Well, I've learned a few things that I'll take with me for the rest of my life. And it's this. First of all, that God blesses people of faith. I've seen that time and time again in the life of Abraham. I've also seen that God provides in so many unique and special ways. That God, he keeps his promises, he fulfills his promises. And that God always knows what he's doing. And so I don't know what you're going through in your life right now, but remember, whatever difficulty you face, whatever circumstance you're in, remember that God blesses people of faith, that God provides, that God keeps his promises, he's with you. And that lastly, God knows what he's doing. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for what you've been teaching us in the book of Genesis, and particularly this story of how Isaac and Rebecca came together and how you brought them together. Lord, we thank you for your blessings in our life, for your providence, for your promises. And we thank you, God, that you are a God worthy of our faith and our trust. And Lord, we just pray for those who are in our service today and maybe going through a difficult time in their lives. Just encourage them. Let them know, Lord, that you are faithful, you are good, you are with us, and that you know what's best, and that you know what you are doing. And we just pray all these things in your name, Jesus. Amen.